And I love this passage of scripture about the two foundations. It says, when you hear the word of the Lord and obey the word and do according to the word, you are like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. But when you hear the word and you do not practice, obey the word, do according to the word, the Bible says that you are like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And when the storms came, you know what happens to that foundation, that it's well founded, and the house that it's built on a rock and the one that it's built on the sand. Two cannot stand, but one withstands the storms because of its build on the rock. Are you built on the rock? Hallelujah. Shall we stand as Christo come and lead us into this song, Rock of Ages? Our God is so faithful. I know you are not used to hymnals, but I'm going to be introducing you to some hymnals here and there. There are some that are very dear to me. I love them. Some even in Swahili. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Some you will sing in tongues. Somebody say hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Rock of ages cleft for me.
Yes.
Let me hide myself in thee.
Yeah.
Let the waters and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be my sin of love. Let me hide.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're asking him to cover us with his blood. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're saying, God, I am not enough. I need you to shout to me under your blood, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're saying, God, I trust you to be the rock in my life. Cover me, Jesus. We're saying, God, you're my foundation. Cover me, Jesus. God, you're my everything. Cover me, Jesus. God, you're my strength. Be my rock. Be my shield, Jesus. So when we sing this song, we're saying, God, I need you more than I need me. Hallelujah, Jesus. So let me hide myself in thee. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we hide ourselves in the rock of ages. Thank you, our God. You are our rock. You are our refuge, our fortress. In you, we live and move and have our being. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. You may be seated in his presence. You see, some of the songs we are singing nowadays, they don't have meaning. Sometimes you have to tap into these hymnals that speaks to you. Rock of ages. Hallelujah. He is the rock of ages. I thank God for each and every one of you. I want to start the service with few statements, and I would like you to get your pen and your book and write them. And it's for a reason. I've been thinking about life and what life is and what life is supposed to be. And I want to declare some things to you this afternoon. I have about 7 things that I want you to write down. And if you don't have a notebook, inside your bulletin there is a page we have left blank for you. If you don't have a pen, please put up your hand. We'll make sure you have some pen. I know, Alex, you have a lot of them back there. So if you don't have a pen, just put up your hand. We'll make sure you get one. I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus that as you come, please bring a book. Come with your Bible, bring a book, and bring a pen. Because we're going to start going into some deep, deep stuff in the Bible. Because that's where the Lord is calling us. Number one, I want you to write that faith makes all things possible. Faith makes all things possible. Faith makes all things possible. And love makes all things easy. I will repeat the statement. Faith makes all things possible, and love makes all things easy. Did you get that? Now, having said that, can we get Matthew 17 and verse 20? There is a powerful statement right there about faith that I just want to deposit in your spirit. And it's such a... See, sometimes when we read the word, we have to ask God really to give us a revelation of what really this means. And I want to really capitalize on towards the end of that passage. It says, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible with who? Nothing will be impossible with who? Talk to me. Nothing will be impossible with who? Nothing will be impossible with who? With your neighbor? The Bible says with you. Nothing will be impossible with you. If you just have faith as a mustard seed, that's where my statement is based. That faith makes all things possible and love makes things easier. So I come here to announce to you, Kingdom Ambassadors Church, write this next statement, that there are questions or questions you will never be able to answer. There are questions you will never be able to answer in life. And you have to believe it. And you have got to be okay with it. Because that's the way God has designed life. None of us is all-knowing. Point number two. There are things you will never be able to explain. There are things I cannot explain in life. Point number three. There are things in life that you will never be able to change. There are things in life you will never be able to change. Number four, there are things in life you will not be able or you cannot control. There are things in life you cannot control. It is a fact, it's the truth, it's the reality of life. Yeah. You are born, you are growing older, you like it or not, you cannot control that. You can get the Botox and all the other things and plastic surgeries, but the fact remains, you are aging. We can change that. They can get all the sex changed and become who they want to be. You are born a man, you want to be a woman. You are born a woman, you want to be a man. There are things you cannot be able to control. And that's the fact of life. Where are you? You cannot control. The next one is, there are things in life you and I cannot stop. There are things in life we cannot be able to stop. We cannot. You're done with that? The next one is, there are things in life I am not responsible for. There are things in life, my brother, my sister, you are not responsible for. There are those things that God have made you responsible for. But there are things in life you are not responsible for. I'm not responsible of your choices. I am not responsible of your decisions. That's your choices. Those are your decisions. I am not responsible for the words that you utter, whatever you say, good or bad, that is your problem. You are responsible for that. I cannot be responsible for it. Your brother cannot be responsible for it. Your wife, your husband cannot be responsible for it. Your parents cannot be responsible over your choices, your decisions, and everything that comes out of your mouth. None is responsible of it but you. It's the fact, the truth of life. The last one is, there are things in life we cannot exceed. In other words, you are limited. There are things in life we cannot exceed. Faith makes all things possible. Love makes things easier. But there are things we cannot exceed. We have our limitations. Let me say something to you, my brothers, my sisters. What you are responsible for, you can write it down. What you are responsible for, and you can say, what I am responsible for is how I respond and what I do with my time and the resources available to you. That you are responsible for. What you are responsible for is how you respond and what you do with your time and with the resources that God has given to you. That you will give an account before God. Did you finish that or you want me to repeat? Repeat. What you are responsible for is how you respond and what you do with the time and resources that God has entrusted to you or has given to you. That you are responsible for, my brother, that you are responsible for, my sister, that we are responsible for. Time is a free resource that God has given to us. God has given you life. There are so many things that God has deposited in your life. There are gifts and talents. There is wisdom, knowledge, understanding. There are things that God has given to you. Time and those resources you are responsible for. And God is coming with the question of how you spend the time and the resources. In fact, Paul goes as far as saying that let's redeem time. For these days are evil. We are responsible of our time. How you commit yourself into life. There are some people who run from morning to evening. They are so tired. They are so exhausted. There is no time to study the word. There is no time to pray. There is no time even to spend with your spouse and with your children. You are responsible of that. God will ask you a question. I'm bringing to you the message, the plan of God over your life. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, I want to bring you another no message. The Bible says, but since then, there has not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom God knew face to face. I want you to underline the word knew. Whom God knew face to face. That word, in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, Jeremiah 1 and 5, and Jeremiah 29 and 11, those three passages of scripture has the same word. It is, the root word of it in the Hebrew text is the word yada, Y-A-D-A. It means that God has a knowledge of you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15. I read this passage this morning and I had to ask God a question this morning. Ecclesiastes 3. Okay. Can you read that? Just read it from the screen. What does it say? That which has already been and what is to be has already been. That's a powerful statement right there. And God requires an account of what is past. Let me take you into NIV of the same passage. It's amazing. Did you understand what that passage says? How many people got it? Whatever is, has already been. I'm talking to you about the plan of God over your life. The Bible is saying, what has already been, whatever is present tense, right? Already been, what is that? Already being is past. What God is saying, your life that is now, it has already been with Him. So your present is God's past. Come on, tell your neighbor, your present is God's past. This is an amazing statement. And he says, and what will be has been there before. What is now, what your life is past in God. The week before last Sunday, I read to you a passage of scripture in the book of Psalms 139 that God has written a book about each and every one of us. Before the substance that formed your body ever existed, the matter, before it became substance, and the elements before they were put together, God knew and had already finished a book about your life. So, what is your present is God's past. What will be? It says, and what will be has been there. In other words, there is nothing new to God. God knows it all. And God will call the past to account. My brother, my sister, how we live our life presently from the time we were born to the time we leave this earth. The Bible says that your past will be called into account by God. That's powerful. How I live my life will be called into account by God. So, if God will call my past, because I will be no more, and God visits my life from the beginning to the end, and I stand, we just sang a song, that will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of how we lived our life, what I did with the resources God has given to me, what I did with the time that God has given to me. Is it not an interesting thing and an interesting... This is. Let me tell you, we live life opposite of how God wanted to be. Can I give you an example? Are you ready for the example? There are some of us who say, ouch. The example is this. Where I am employed, I go to work on time. I show up on time even before time. Sometimes I will even stay after time if I'm not done with my project. But when it comes into the house of the Lord, God understands I can sleep in a little bit. I can go in later. Exactly. So, we are responsible of how this life is. So the plan of God, may I say to you that when the Lord said that I know the plan I have, that word have, H-A-V-E, in the Hebrew text is the word chashab, C-H-A-S-H-A-B, chashab. What does that mean? It indicates that, you see, like when you have seen ladies, most of the time, they do the crocheting, right? They do the weaving. You go to your hairdresser and they prepare your hair. They weave it wherever. It looks like waves. It says that the word to say I have indicates a weave. Or a weaver. A weaver is W-E-A-V-E-R. A weaver. It means using the mind to create new ideas. So when God says, I know the plans that I have, He is saying, I am a creative God. That I am creating every moment of your life. There is something that God is creating in you. There is something that God is creating for you. So in other words, life in God it's not a stagnant life. It is a perpetual life. It is continuous. God is always creating. In other words, God is not retarded. He is not redundant. He is not stagnant. He is a God who is moving. So He is using His mind. The creative mind of God is in operation 24/7 coming up with a new you. Come on, somebody. The word plan, we already went into the word know. The word plan, I looked at this word from the Hebrew text, and it's the word machashaba. Machashaba, it's M-A-C-H-A. I'm sparing it for you for those that are writing. S-H-A-B. A-H. Machashaba. It means plan. In the original text, that word, are you writing? It means the thoughts of God. In other words, I know the thoughts that I have for you. It means the imagination of God. Did we just see that He is using His mind to create new ideas, to create new stuff? Are you there? That's why life should not be lived the same way every single minute. That's why the current problems and issues cannot be solved with the past solutions.
What worked for you yesterday does not mean it's going to work for you today and tomorrow. God is a creative God. So the word Machashaba, which means the plan of God, means the thoughts of God, imaginations of God. Can I take you into the book of... Paul, he's asking and saying, who knows the mind of God? Who knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God? Right here. I'll read it for you. First Corinthians chapter 2. This is amazing. The Lord just dropped this in my spirit. It's not in my note, thank God. It says from verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. For to us, somebody say, for to me, God has revealed the things that have not entered the mind of man. The plan, Machashaba of God, the imaginations of God, the creativeness of God has not entered the mind of... Did we just read that? In verse 9? And what... Let's go back to verse 9. It says... Come on, read with me. 2, 3, read. Okay. The things that God has planned, imagined, created for you have not even entered the mind of men. None. But what is he saying in verse 10? Read it with me. Where the Bible says, I say me. 2, 3, read. Hold on right there. God revealed what? No. Hold on right. God has revealed what through the Spirit? Things that have not entered the mind of men. Things that have not entered the hearts of men. The imaginations of God over you. The creative mind of God over your life. The plan of God. The thought of God is not known by men. The Bible says you know it because he has already revealed it. Through who? Through the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Come on, somebody talk to me. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? The Bible says God has already revealed them to you. You know what that means? Ask your neighbor. Do you know what that means? What did they say? They know? What did your neighbor say? Did you know that what that means? Yeah. That means... Are you ready for the answer? That means... Tell your neighbor, listen carefully. That means you and I, God has removed out of the way any excuse we can give to him. Any excuse we can say, I didn't know. Any excuse of, oh, how do I do it? God, no, has revealed it to you through the Spirit. And if you don't know the plan of God over your life, the purpose, the destiny of God for you, you have an assignment. And the assignment is to go and listen to the Spirit of God. For he has already revealed it. The Bible says it's already revealed. The word reveal means already uncovered. It's already uncovered. For the Spirit does what? It searches all things, even the depths of God. I love that. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. He needs to be your best friend. The Bible says he searches the deeper things of God. Where the mind of God cannot, the mind of man cannot go, the Spirit of God goes. And he comes saying, this is the plan of God for you. And he opens a page. The book that it's written for you in heaven, you know who opens pages? The Holy Spirit. Let me tell you people, the reason if, how many people want to prosper in life? Come on, with a show of hand, put up your right hand if you want prosperity. And prosperity does not just mean money. It means good health, good marriage. Good children, a good neighbor. That's what prosperity means. A good home, comfortable life, health, no sicknesses, no disease. That's what is included in the prosperity. And may I say to us, my brothers, my sister, the reason why the church is struggling. Even when you go in research, they are saying the people who write about churches, the reason the churches are and pastors giving up, there is 1,500 pastors every month who quit ministry. In America, not in the world, in America, 1,500 every month, they give up ministry. Can I tell you why the church is behind? The church is behind because all of us are sitting down and sitting on our hands. And you have a gift. You have a talent. You have something God has given to you for the body of Christ. But you are robbing the body of Christ of what God has given to you. God gave it to you for the work of the ministry. God gave it to you for the sake of the church. But you are robbing me of my prosperity. But I'm about to say a prayer that will move you out of the way so that somebody else who will be obedient and will be able to open up the resources to flow out of them to come. Let me tell you something. A prophet of God by the name Prophet Isaiah, he lived a good life. God called him. The Bible says that even God sent an angel with a coal of fire to cleanse his tongue so that he can go and deliver the message. But here comes, Prophet Isaiah had an issue in his life. Did I share with you about Moses and Aaron? How Aaron became a curse to Moses? How he prevented Moses from entering the promised land for disobeying God. You remember what I said to you? Be careful who is standing with you and walking with you. Did I talk to you about Abraham? He had Lot, a family member. God had not called Abraham and Lot. He called Abraham. Until the Lord said, I will not bless you until you separate and go separate ways. Lot has got to go. And Abraham, you have got to separate. God did not bless Abraham until they parted way with Lot. Because the word Lot means a veil in the Hebrew text. Come on, smile. It's not that serious. It's serious, but not serious. Excuse me. See, may I say something to you? Every church, every what? Tell your neighbor, every church. Jesus, in his ministry, he had Judas. Judas has his own functions in the ministry of Jesus. Did you know that if it were not for Judas, you will not be saved? Judas was kept there to betray Jesus. That was his assignment. He needed to fulfill his assignment, brothers. He needed to fulfill his assignment. And he did it with 30 coins of silver. Until he went and threw the money in the temple to those who returning the money, because he realized it is a curse. And instead of going to repent, he went and committed suicide. And the Bible says his stomach opened, and everything out of his stomach spilled out. Matumbo, whatever. I don't mean to be graphic, but that's the truth. Every church has a Judas. And we must know the function of a Judas in the church. Every pastor has a Judas. And we must know the function of a Judas in that ministry. You know what Judas does to you as a believer? He keeps you on your knees. You hear what they say, you go to prayer. You don't go knocking the door. Atulisema nini? No, you don't go opening, knocking the doors and telling them, come, whatever you say to them, say it on my face. On my face. What do? You go, because we wrestle not against flesh and what? And blood. You go and pray. My brothers, my sisters, Paul had an excuse. Who wrote the 3/4 of the Bible? He was a murderer. Do you know how many people Paul killed? The first martyr of Paul was Stephen, recorded in the book of Acts. Read your Bible. The Bible says he was the one supervising the stoning of a man of God. Because the clothing, they stoned him naked. Because the Bible says Stephen's clothes were kept at Paul's feet. By then he was so. He supervised Stephen being killed. But Stephen knew the plan of God for him. He knew the purposes of God for him. He knew. Can you imagine? Come on, people. I'm telling you, you must know who you are in Christ. And you must learn to let God be your avenger. Can you imagine? I want to show you some. Can you imagine when they were stoning Stephen, and the Bible says he knelt and he looked unto the heavens and he made a confession of what he saw. As they stoned these men of God, Stephen did not utter a curse. He didn't do what? He did not curse. You think if Stephen spoke a curse, you think you'll be reading Romans written by Paul? No. I want to show you something. Some of us, what God has given to you to use for his glory, you are using it to deglorify him. Stephen did not curse. If he pronounced a curse, Paul, the soul then will not be Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the Bible, who said that the Spirit of God has revealed those things to us. I'm trying to show you the seriousness of you understanding who you are called to be in the house of the Lord. I read to you a passage of scripture that says, by your words you shall be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned. That's why Let me tell you, I have gotten to a point in my life, I don't care what you say. That's your business. And I'm not going to be contaminated with that. I leave it unto God. Yeah, you. I'm a child of a king. I am a child of a king. I know my daddy. You touch me, you touch the apple of God's eye. The Bible says I'm the apple of his eye. Oh, come on, people. Talk to me. Your enemies are not your enemies. They are enemies of God. When they talk about you, they talk about your daddy. You and your daddy are one. Read the Bible. If they slander you, they slander your daddy. You're not getting about this. Stephen did not utter a curse. Who knows what Stephen said? Who knows what Stephen said in the book of Acts? Huh? He saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. God just opened the heavens. And then what did he say next about the people who were stoning him? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In other words, they don't know whom I belong to. They don't know who I am. I am a child of a king. Forgive them, Lord. Can you imagine if he said, Lord, let them die? Paul could have died without Christ. And some of us, we are using the same tongues God has given to us instead of blessing and speaking a blessing and opening the floodgates of blessing over people's lives. We are cursing them. I come to declare in the name of Jesus that no curse spoken, no word spoken by man against you, against this church, shall prosper in its work in the name of the Lord. I release the fire of God from heaven to destroy every negative confession over us, every negative confession over your life. The plan of God, Machashaba of God, is to do you good, is to bless you. You know what? I have said, like, you know, they hired Balaam, Barak hired Balaam to go and curse the children of Israel. What did he do? He took the money, and he was a prophet of God. First of all, the donkey spoke to him. People are so hard-headed and hard-hardened that the donkey speaks to him. Can you imagine a donkey telling you, wewe, umenichapa safari tatu. Na hauoni ni nini ninaona. I will translate that in a minute. It says, the donkey tells Balaam, you have hit me 3 times, Balaam. But can't you see the angel of God? Balaam was so blinded that he couldn't see the angel of God with the sword, who was ready to kill him, but the donkey can see. May God help us that the donkey does not see before you see. May the God help you that the donkey does not need to speak to you. You speak to the donkey. That's an amazing. He goes and he stands before the children of Israel. And he was about to release curses. And then he found himself. Oh, I bless you in the name of the Lord. You will prosper. You will walk in health. Oh, you have more money. Oh, you have a promotion. He started blessing them. And then Barak comes and says, are you crazy? I brought you here to curse these people. And then he goes, oh, whom God has blessed, no man can curse. I come to declare to you, Kingdom Ambassadors Church, we who God has blessed, no one can curse us in Jesus' name. We are under the blessing of God. We are under the canopy of his blessings and his glory. The plan of God over my life. They waited for you to fall and to buckle under pressure. But your God comes and he gives you strength and you stand, you walk, you run. Okay, I was on Prophet Isaiah. I haven't forgotten. You remember that's where we were? Before I went to all other, these other people? I said, Prophet Isaiah is given a message by God. His tongue is cleansed by the call of fire, and God gives him the word to go and declare. But he had an issue. Somebody say an issue. All of us have some skeletons that are hindering the move of God, that are hindering the calling of God out of our lives. What was the problem? It was King Uzziah. The Bible says, until King Uzziah died, then Prophet Isaiah was able to see God. Come on, somebody. Say it with me. My Uzziah, I declare to you in the name of Jesus, die in Jesus' name. Move out of the way. I must see God. I must do His work. I must declare that which He has committed in me. My brother, my sister, we just declared you Uzziah to die. He's dead. Now arise. Someone, somebody pray with me. Say, Father, I arise as of now in the name of Jesus to do the work of the ministry, to do what you have called me to do, to fulfill my assignment in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name. My brother, my sister, may I say to you, Toby, pick that up. I see stuff. Let me say this to you. Some of you, and I want to illustrate this all the way up there, and I'm going to close with this. God creates a path for you, and He puts some things along the way as you pass. And these things, are these papers supposed to be here, the tissues? So, what am I supposed to do? Come on, somebody. What am I supposed to do? What if I pass them and I don't pick them up? This is what I'm about to say to you. If you have no anointing to pick up a tissue and put it in the garbage where it belongs, you have no anointing to serve God. I am telling you, if you cannot bend, you think that's the work of ashes. That's the job of the workers in the house. I saw something there. He called me from here to down there. Because if I'm obedient with that thing speaking to me right there, I'll be obedient to God. You know what that paper is telling you? I'm in the wrong place. Pick me up. But some of us just come and pass. That's how God speaks. Don't wait for God to come with a thunder and thunder in your ears and your heart. He's a gentle God. He may whisper. He may put things along the way to see as you go to stand on the mic whether you're going to pick it up. I am telling you, the anointing that will flow through here will be dependent on your obedience on picking it up. Hello. Am I talking to somebody? So some of us come and we see something, it's not where it's supposed to be. I just say, now ni wachafu. These people are dirty, man. What were they thinking? It's not about the thinking. It's about your obedience. Here is what I'm telling God and asking God. It is to help you and me that we can be able to be obedient children of God. My brother, your obedience to your assignment is the key to your next level of glory
and prosperity. You want to walk in God's revelation? You want to open your Bible and the revelations of God flows to you? You want to be closing your eyes or opening your eyes and the visions are coming? You want to be laying on that pillow and the dreams of God are coming? The flow from heaven is dependent on your obedience with what God has called you to be and to do. God has not called you just to do. He has called you to be it. If God raised you to be a worshiper in the house, He didn't call you to do it. He called you to be worship. If you are called in whichever capacity, God wants you to be it, not just to do it. It is easier to do than to be it. Can you imagine if I don't study the word, I just wake up every morning and I just come here? Can you imagine what a mess that will be? Can you imagine what will happen to the body of Christ? I have to be it. I have to sit at His feet with my pain, with my tears, with every agony, with every fiber of my being hurting. I've got to yet be at His feet and listen to Him and hear Him and deliver His message without an excuse. Thank God. My wife is in heaven. She's looking down on us, praying for us. But I'm telling you, the grief, the mourning, her departure, her absence cannot be an excuse for me not to serve God. As hurtful and as tragic as that might sound to you, I am telling you, I have no excuse before Him. Because He didn't call me to preach, to be a pastor, because she's there. Before I formed you in the womb, my brother, if your spouse or your child becomes an excuse, he may be the Uzziah you just spoke to. We need to remove every excuse and serve God in the cup. You're not serving me. When you come here to serve, you're not coming here to serve me. But also there is an anointing that comes when you serve a man of God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 34 that God raised up Joshua to serve and to be a leader of the children of Israel. And the Bible says because Moses had laid his hands on him. You may not look at pastor as anything, but I'm telling you, all of you, listen to me. I have got the key to where you are going in life. I have it. And my job is not to lock the door. My job is to open the door for you. It is to speak to you. It is to speak to your destiny. It is to call forth. It is to unlock. It is to fight demons until you make it. May I tell you, since my wife passed, 3 days a week, I pray and I have separated myself. I want to hear God. I want to know God more. I have no excuse not to serve God. What excuse do you have? What excuse do you have? God called you as a worshiper. Are you worshiping? Are you worship to God? And don't tell me you sing in the shower. Don't tell me you worship in private. Your gift. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. Let your gift make room for you, my brother. Let your gift make room for you, my sister. Come on, talk to your neighbor and say, your gift make room for you in Jesus' name. Come on, talk to your neighbor. Tell them, may your gift open doors for you and make room for you in this church in Jesus' name. Arise and do the work of the ministry. Glory to God. This morning I woke up and I started laughing and I laughed and I laughed at the devil and I started jumping in the house like a lunatic and I just
started running inside the house, and I was praising God. I said, thank God I am in the land of the living. I have another opportunity to glorify my God, my dad in heaven. Yeah. Let me tell you, even as I'm going through what I'm going through, I'm not going to let you be discouraged. The Lord sends me to you, I'm coming with a message of encouragement. And you'll be looking at me like, what about you? Don't worry about me. He is a shepherd of my soul. My brothers, my sisters, I have tears in my spirit that over your life. Some of us need to be multimillionaires, and we are still crying because we will not serve God with everything that we have so that He can bless the work of our hands. We have an excuse over I would rather miss church and go to the beach. Which time do you need more than what you have? I surrender. May my Uzziah, may my every Uzziah die in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I declare every Uzziah to die. Kingdom Ambassadors Church, let me say these words to you. Kingdom Ambassadors Church is moving on. Kingdom Ambassadors Church is moving on. I want to say to the children, we will do what we need to do so that you can grow up the way God wants you to grow up. We will allow God to use us to be a blessing to you. Every youth in this house, I want to say to you, I will be an example for you. I will be there for you. The church will be there for you until you make it in life. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And a soldier does not leave another soldier wounded. You drag them up along. We will go with you. Every woman, every man, I declare to you, Kingdom Ambassadors Church is moving on. We are moving on. And I'm telling you, you haven't seen yet what God has revealed in the Spirit about this house. Oh yeah. Things are gonna happen, and they are happening already. There is a ripple effect that is taking place. There is a convergence that is taking place, and when it comes to and it forms, there will be a tornado of the move of God in this house, in the name of Jesus, because every Uzziah is under my feet, in the name of the Lord. If you thought, if for a minute, the Pastor Dominic will quit because my wife passed. I am here to give you good news. I am not a quitter. Oh yeah. If you thought I'm gonna give up, I have good news for you. I don't give up. My God, I'm stubborn. You have not seen stubbornness. When it comes to knowing this is where I'm going, I am stubborn and I keep on going at it until I have what is mine. And I'm not giving up on you. Tell your neighbor, Pastor is not giving up on you. Come on, declare it. Pastor is not giving up on us. I am telling you, I am here until Jesus says enough is enough. I am here. Na kama umechoka ni kuniona utahama. That's Greek. I'll be here, man. And guess what? I'm growing taller every day. I'm growing taller. You may say, oh, Pastor, what's up? I'm not talking about this taller. I'm talking about in the spirit. I'm getting taller and I'm becoming fatter. My body is going this way, but my spirit is going that way. And that way is expanding. I come to tell you, We are victorious in Jesus' name. Can I have the graduates who are here in Jesus' name? Where are these people? Please come. Dan, Gabe, we want to pray. This wonderful men are going into college.